Meeple Night, Season 2, Episode 3. Welcome to Meeple Night, a podcast about board games, past, present, and future, and the stories behind them. In today's episode, we will each discuss a few of our recent plays. I'm Andrew Caprell, and here's my co-host, Josh Knight.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to a podcast mayo. Now, we laugh about this. We decided, are any of these ketchup episodes are going to be titled after condiments? The first one was a podcast ketchup. All right, so that makes sense. Catch up with games you've been playing. Then our second one became a podcast relish, and now we're just off the rails.
Yeah, now just do whatever we want.
YOLO. Do kids still say that, by the way? I don't even know.
I don't know. I don't interact with those. Yeah,
I only interact with toddlers. Kids.
Just toddlers. They don't use acronyms. They don't even use the correct words yet all the time. So.
That's fine.
Well, how you been, Josh?
Well, I'm on a staycation this week. I've been playing quite a bit of golf, and my golf game is finally coming back into my college days that I used to be good. I've told people for years, I used to be good at golf. I could never demonstrate that.
They're like, what the heck?
Yeah, like, sure, there's no way in hell you used to be good. You have. Yeah. But now, after quite a few lessons and trying to get back into the groove of things, the game is starting to sync up, so which is good. It's going to be perfect timing because I've got my first tournament of the year, the second weekend of March. So it's going to be good times.
Oh, cool. Is that what is a tournament? I mean, I know what a tournament is, but what does it consist of at, like, is it an amateur thing or just for fun, or what's the?
This is just for fun. I think there might be some prize money involved, but it's a scramble that I'm playing with three other random dudes that I get assigned. So it's not like I'm putting a team together. Okay. It's not like the Avengers.
I mean, from the Avengers perspective, it might actually be like the Avengers.
If they were just randomly grouped together. Yeah, but yeah. This is
like, they didn't get a say.
They're flighted, like, some are better than what? Never mind. That's Avengers. Some are definitely better than others.
It is Avengers. It's golf Avengers. This is perfect.
It's golf Avengers. That's what I'm going to call this tournament now. I'm playing golf Avengers. Hopefully, now, who does that make me?
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully, maybe you're like Hawkeye, just for the precision factor or something.
Oh, my God.
Not for the special powers.
I was going to say. Hey, Josh, you suck. You're Hawkeye.
I'm thinking Hawkeye might be the best golfer in the Avengers, but maybe not. Maybe Thor or Iron Man would still probably be better. Have some sort of tech golf.
Right, so we have the best clubs. Talking about board games, let's do an analysis of which Avenger would be the best golfer.
So a podcast mayo is good. See, a podcast mayo or mayo not talk about board games today.
God. All right, see yourself out. That's it. Tonight's podcast is only going to be me. Sorry, listeners.
Oh, then they're not going to get a good variety of games. I mean, it's going to be so different.
They're going to get fun games.
Speaking of a variety of games that the listeners want to talk about. So we have been putting up Q&A on the Spotify function. I don't really know if it works on Apple or not. I haven't actually checked. That's how terrible I am. But somebody's responding. And it's Jeff, not surprisingly. Yay, Jeff!
Yay, Jeff.
So our first episode, we put up the "What are some of your top games?" Because that was our top 10 list. And do you know what Jeff's response was? I mean, it's published, but what do you think it was?
Arkham Horror.
Bam! Bing, 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 bing. Winner. And I already told you. Yeah. I mean, I love that game. We played the first, like, the core box a couple times, mm-hmm. And I played it solo once, but then, I don't know, I just couldn't get into the collection. I mean, I've got into the collection of board games, so I couldn't also dive into the collection of a whole series of games. The LCG was, yes.
And you did with Five Rings.
I did for one cycle for Five Rings. And that was when I learned my lesson.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I'll turn my camera to my Marvel Champions collection down there, which I've stopped ever since they came out with X-Men. I just haven't bought anything.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, you just have enough, right? Variety, yeah. And you want to play other things too. So,
yeah. Well, kudos to Jeff for Top Game Arkham Horror.
And then he also responded, what games are on your shelf of shame that you want to get played? And I told you the answer to this already, but... In space. I don't know.
To the game that I bought him.
Man, shame. You throw shame at him.
I do.
Nah. you bought him this gift and he just leaves it on his shelf.
Actually, I'm trying to think. Clink in Space might be soloable now because base game Clink is now soloable with the app. But I think his difficulty was trying to find someone to play with. I think he feels as though it's more complicated or too complicated to play with his wife, which I bet she can handle it. But at the same time, if someone has that natural hurdle that they think they can't cross, then they're it's hard to play a game.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And that will be reflected in my playlist. but
before you do that, quick update with what's been going on in your life.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. I've just been waiting by Spotify, waiting for people to respond. So that's what that was my life.
Still working on the Roback kickbacks.
Oh yeah, man. No, I love their hoodies. It's like all I wear. It's like the right amount of, I don't know, light to medium weight for what I like.
We'll say, listeners, he's not wearing the same hoodie every time. Because that's good. Because otherwise, I'd be questioning if that's the only hoodie you have.
We just can't afford laundry anymore. So
yeah.
It's been good. We are getting set up to close on our house. That'll be April 2nd for moving to Michigan. So been doing a lot of work on that. Getting insurance quotes and locking in interest rates. You know, adult stuff. That's not super fun, but I mean, it is fun, but like a boring adult fun kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay. And then finished. Well, I guess that was mostly done last episode. I was gonna say tax season. There's always some like, why am I such a boring adult person talking about work?
I mean, that's why we play board games.
Kid stuff has been gymnastics has been our deal lately. It's been fun seeing them kind of grow.
Yeah,
doing. I don't know. It's fun watching them learn how to like. Go from just hanging on a bar to actually kind of somewhat doing. Like a pull up or swing on the bar and
nice. Actually, I can't even do a pull up
balance. Well, they do have like probably a 200-pound advantage. They're probably like 30 pounds.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got some upper body strength, but it's hard to lift 240 pounds.
Yeah. Speaking, have you heard of a person named Kyriakos Grizzly?
No.
You need to look him up after on YouTube. He is. I think he's about 400 pounds and he can do pull-ups for reps. He doesn't look like he can. And when you see it, you're going to be like, what the
fuck? Now, I have to ask, are they real pull-ups or these CrossFit bull crap?
They're kind of close to like CrossFit.
Yeah.
But
yeah, get that out of here.
He's 400 pounds.
I don't care. It's CrossFit. No, that's not a like CrossFit. Make-believe.
He's not a CrossFitter, but I think he's one of the like strongman competitors or something. Thank you. Yeah, but I don't know. There's commentaries on it that are pretty funny to watch. That's how I've seen it. I haven't seen it through like his own channel. Just watching people make fun of him, but then be like, what? Humans are not supposed to be able to do that. So anyways. All right. It's been about 10 minutes. So I guess people may want to hear about some games.
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
Well, we have 26 seconds until the 10-minute mark. So I say we just sit here in silence so that they have to do 10 full minutes of not board games before we do one. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Because then the mayo turn off.
The mayo turn it off and never listen to us again.
Well, I think we should evolve into talk about board games before the 10-minute mark. And my first game is Evolution. Yep. So
I knew that was coming based on the transition.
I know, it was a great transition. But So I used to do themes with all the games I've been playing, and tonight's theme is shame, because two of the three games were off my selfish shelf of shame that I discussed last episode, and the third one actually will fit into. We'll get there. But
Reavers of Midgard has shame. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Reavers? No, you and I played Reavers.
Yeah.
Actual Reaver, the shame mechanism.
Yeah.
I don't think it does. I think all the champions have it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Well, anyway, so Evolution, talked about it last episode. I did describe the game incorrectly a little bit. So to preface that, 30 second little.
I played it.
I didn't. I looked it up multiple times, but you start with a creature. We'll just call it a creature, species, whatever. We're going to call it a creature. And you can put these cards down on it to give it spine, to give it horns, to make it fat so it can hold stuff. And the whole purpose of this is there's a fixed amount of food each round, depending on how many food you want in the round. You have to discard a card for the food. Anyways, you're either going to be an herbivore or you're going to be a carnivore. And you have to decide that as you build your species. And the creature itself, if it's an herbivore, it's eating from the shared pool. If it's carnivore, it's eating from the species that is around, and it could potentially eat from one of your animals. And the whole purpose of this is to eat food, and when you get food eaten, that goes into your victory point pile. So Veronica and I played it, and it immediately went to the cell pile. I hated it.
Oh, wow.
It is straight trash. This is like paleo level garbage. It wasn't fun. There was no variety. It literally just felt like trudging through mud. We took out, in a two player game, you're supposed to remove 40 cards to make this monstrous deck a little bit shorter. It still felt like I'd rather have a vasectomy than to play this game. It just went on and on and on. It's sort of like that teacher from Charlie Brown. It was so annoying. And it got to a point, I told Veronica, I just don't want to play this anymore. I almost quit mid-game. I really do that. This sucked.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell it should be ranked 638th on Board Game Geek. This is straight trash.
That's fine. I mean, I disagree. But I did caveat. I did say when you put it on your list that it's better with more people.
But I have no interest in playing it with more people. There's nothing there.
That's fine. Nicole doesn't like it either, but
I'm trying to think about, I describe things as ice cream. I described somebody the other day, it's like, they're fine, they're vanilla ice cream. No one's going to hate on it, but no one's going to be excited that they got vanilla ice cream. This is I don't even know what crappy ice cream is, but lime sherbet. I don't know. This is just garbage.
I don't know. I don't think it would offend anybody.
This is
anybody.
The She-Hulk.
Lobster.
This is the Marvel Cinematic Universe She-Hulk of the Avengers team. Trash. I know you haven't seen that Disney Plus episode yet. Don't worry. It's trash. Like Evolution.
Oh, man.
So if anybody wants a copy of Evolution, reach out. I'll give it to you real cheap.
It is also, there is an app. The app's pretty good way to try out and see if you like it, and it's on sale right now through the 29th.
What, for free? Are they gonna pay me to play the app?
It used to be for free. I don't think it is anymore.
Nobody can pay me to play this game again. This is a Meeple Knight 1.
Dang. Well, that's a bummer.
Hopefully your game is better than that.
It's a bummer. At least you got it off your list though.
Yeah, and it got climate out too, because it was I looked at climate, it wasn't going to change much drastically. I'm like, nope, that's new and shrink cell.
Yeah. All right, so for mine, what order would you rather me go from oldest to newest game or heaviest to lightest game? They're literally the exact opposite order, so it doesn't matter.
I that's alphabetical, or should we do numerical, or
alphabetical? It is. All right, first game.
All right, so listeners, tonight's episode is sponsored by bourbon. Oh, wait, it's always been sponsored by bourbon, but it's in honor of you, Andrew. This is a bourbon out of Utah. I decided to have a Western bourbon. So cheers to you.
Cheers. Mine's sponsored by Real Lemon, made from 100% real lemon juice from concentrate. It's hilarious. I read the thing.
I'm losing it.
It says 100% real lemons, or made from 100% real lemons. And then the ingredients is made from lemon juice, concentrate, and water. It's like, wait, what? That's by definition not 100% real lemons, but okay. Anyway.
Wait, is the board games made out of real lemons too?
Well, you do think this one's a lemon, and that's fine. And it's in the same...
Evolution?
Theme area as evolutions, wildlife and animals. But the board game community vehemently disagrees with you. It's in the top 10 board games of all time.
Ark Nova?
It is Ark Nova.
You played it. Okay. All right, yeah. Let's hear it.
So I played it in person in Virginia, I think 3 times. Okay. We played it 3-player and 4-player. And then I've mostly been playing it 4-player online with our friends Brian and James back in Virginia. So we've been playing it on Board Game Arena. And it's our way of keeping in touch. And I mean, so Ark Nova, the theme is that you're running a zoo, basically, or operating a zoo, I should say. And there's a bunch of animals that you can put in your zoo. You need to build pens. You can do conservation projects to help raise awareness about animals around the world to get conservation points. And it has this mechanism where there's another game, Rajas of the Ganges, that has this. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a few games, but you can get conservation points for conservation projects and things related to like animal awareness, or you can get it's like admission points or something, like I don't remember what the name is, but the symbol is tickets. And so you get more points for building a better zoo that way, but the conservation points are worth more, but they're on the same board and they just go in reverse directions. Yeah. So like conservation points, I think, goes left to right, and then the tickets go right to left. It's been a while since I've played on the actual board.
It
doesn't matter. I'm just trying to give a visual of how it might happen.
Yeah.
And once the points cross over for some person, everybody else gets one more turn. And then whoever has the biggest gap between has the most points. In some sense, just like the online representation of it it's a comfort zone for us, right? Like we know how to play it. The rules are all enforced, and it's just an easy thing to play and catch up once you've played a few times. It's a very similar type of game to Terraforming Mars, where you're drafting cards from a tableau. It's not the same. And then you're building a tableau that kind of has different special powers that may work off of each other, that you can, it's not quite as powerful of an engine builder as Terraforming Mars, but it's somewhere in that vein. I would definitely not put this in my top 10, but and I didn't, you know, 2 episodes ago, so
yeah.
Nothing changed in that front. But
interesting.
I do like this one, and I would like to play the expansion. They have one, Marine Worlds. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it changed much or not. I mean, I know it added water animals, but I don't know how many mechanisms changed.
Yeah, or because usually an expansion, we talked about it in the first rendition of Meeple Knight, that sometimes an expansion can be used to fix something in the base game. I don't think it did that. I think it just added more.
Yeah, I think so too. And it was pretty long when we played in person. When we play online, it's still, I mean, for an online game, it's pretty long. It's 90 minutes most of the time. Maybe, I mean, if we're really talking and not like paying attention that much, it's probably 2 hours. But
just curious, what was your in-person times?
I don't remember. I don't record them, but I would guess they were just probably,
like, roughly.
They were probably 3 hours, would be my guess.
That's why I hate this game.
Yeah.
It goes on for way too long. I played it at four players. I'll never do that ever again.
Yeah.
And I played it at 2 with a buddy Josh here in town. Now, he played separately beforehand with, I think he played with 3 or 4. He didn't care for it. So him and I decided, hey, we had different experiences before. Let's come together. We'll play it two players. We know the game. We'll play through. I think we still played in like 2 hours.
It's still pretty long.
It dragged on. And like, this is one of those, each individual component, your scoring track that you mentioned, fantastic. The actions, the fact that it has like a leveling system with the actions, that's super fun. All this stuff, which was stolen from other games, they're neat mechanisms, but put them together and it's sort of like some idiot that puts raisins in their macaroni and cheese, right? It doesn't work. It takes too, it just spoils the ingredient. Raisins on their own are fine. Macaroni and cheese on their fine. Don't put the two together. They put the two together with this and it just spoils it.
I think, I think it like matches my idea of what a high ranked BGG game is. In that
trash,
that the more you play it, I think the more you get out of it. Like, this is a kind of game where you need to know the strategies and really have this concept of like, this is what I'm gonna do from the outset. I don't have this, by the way. And it's really rewarding for those people who can see this and like know 75% of the cards. They don't need to read anything. They're just like, oh, the hyenas do this or whatever. Like, I don't have that, but I think it's rewarding for those people, and that's why I think
to get it, right? Because I've had an opportunity to get this for like $30, which is a steal, and I passed on it because I don't want that investment. This game isn't worthy of that investment.
Right. That's not my style of playing anyways. This is one, but it is one of the few games that I've played. I probably played it about 10 times, and I don't play that many, especially bigger. I mean, there are a lot of light games I've played that many times. There are not a lot of big Euros that I've played in double digits number of times. So I don't hate it, but I do agree. It takes too long and the timing is weird. Like, you need to, and that's where I think the strategy pays off, because I still don't understand. Like, I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is going to take forever. Like, we're nowhere close. And then they'll be like, all right, I'm probably going to end it in like three turns. Yes. So they do give me the, you know, they give us the heads up. Nicole and I like, oh, we're going to end it pretty soon, probably. And we're like, what?
I do. That's a separate episode, but I do like telling people that. I said, although I got burned one day, we were playing Mystic Veil with two of our friends. I'm like, I think we got about 10 minutes left. Like, we've got probably a couple turns left, just so everybody knows. And not the cards didn't come out in the right order for it to, we were on the exponential curve that things were starting to like ramp up. And it just like plateaued for a short time period, and then game's over. So I got made fun of for saying the game was going to be over in 10 minutes, and it wasn't. But yeah, this game definitely has that. That is like all of a sudden, it's going to end quick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's your next game? It doesn't end quick. And it was mentioned on the last episode, and that's Lord of the Rings Journeys in Middle Earth. What are you laughing
at? Journey. Sorry, I was thinking War of the Ring for some reason. I was thinking, like, that's also a long one, but go ahead.
That is a long one. I played that one with Jeff. That, actually, I haven't mentioned that on this podcast, but maybe we'll get there one day.
Oh, spoiled. You have to change it. You have to change which game you're talking about. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Nah, I only played it once. I don't have enough ammunition, enough information to talk about that, so... Journeys in Middle Earth. I mentioned it last time. It's a dungeon crawl. The experience I've had with this, so it's you pick your characters, you as you're playing the game, it's got different kind of like delving. So you have a true map that you build that has fog of war, that you're trying to interact with tokens, that you're trying to interact and defeat enemies, or you're finding tracks and all this different stuff as you build the map. And then all of a sudden, when you get to this one area, it'll say, all right, you got a boss fight. Wipe the whole board clean, and you put out these two large tiles, and now you've got a boss fight. Type deal, or you have to like fight some people to get the boss to pop out, whatever it might be.
Sure.
So it's sort of a side A and a side B with how this game is played, like, which I actually wasn't expecting.
It's like Final Fantasy ish, like, or like the old 90s, 2000s style RPG where you're running around and like go to the battle map.
Sort of, yeah. And I actually I mean, there's battles that happen in the journey that people will pop up and all this different stuff, especially if you boss. Take your time. Yeah, but the boss will come out at a special thing. It's really neat. It's sort of a deck construction as well, because you have a deck each turn that you shuffle, and you'll flip cards over to see if you have successes against whatever you're trying to attempt. The thing I mentioned last episode was that they changed it to make an adventure mode. So it used to be normal and then hard, and then they added this adventure mode, which essentially pulls back how much the threat increases each round, because that threat is what forces you to continue the main storyline, but it is prohibitive of you going through and, like, you found a small child that you want to read a bedtime story to. I'm just making stuff up.
Sure.
But, yeah, like, you could actually do that now. And you're not penalized for it. There's still threat that's increasing, but it's not as fast. So as a result, you can do some of these, like, little weird side quests. It's sort of like when you play Skyrim, Fallout, other of these massive RPG games that you can, I mean,
do some of the open world stuff.
Yeah, Skyrim, I never completed the initial, like, the primary quest. I did so many side quests. I don't even know what the main quest was.
Yeah, that's how I was with Morrowind.
This gives you that ability.
I know
you can do some of those side quests, but you're still completing. I actually finished a couple of rounds of this now, and I love it. I bought the expansions. I bought everything. I bought sleeves for the cards I'm shuffling.
Yeah,
I love it. This is like the exact opposite of Evolution. Evolution was a pain in the ass. This game is, like, awesome. It's not top 10 game for me. This is awesome.
I would guess the theme helps as well. I mean, being a Lord of the Rings fan yourself.
Yeah, I've read all the books, like all of Tolkien's products. Like, I really enjoy it. And it doesn't necessarily follow. It's just like a random story.
Right, it's just like being in Middle Earth generally, right? Yeah.
It's super cool. I will give a caveat. It does have an app that you have to utilize in order to play the game. But the app, you'll put in your successes, and then it'll tell you, hey, you suck, you didn't achieve enough, or it'll say, congratulations, you shot an arrow through the guy's Achilles, and now all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers can't play for the rest of the year.
Oh man, it has real life consequences. Nice.
Yeah.
So is this it? I think you have played Mansions of Madness, right? Is it built on those same bones?
It's built on the same bones. I have not played it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, some
I
things.
It, and then I got rid of it.
Yeah, some things sounded like that. I don't remember the threat, or I think was what you called it. But
yeah,
I mean, kind of the, like, putting in your successes in the app and then it telling you what to do or what to unveil, and like the fog of war, or whatever it's called, kind of being controlled by the app.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's
good. I mean,
it's expensive. That's the only caveat I'd give. Like, I think the base box I was seeing here, it looks like $100 is like MSRP. That's expensive for what this is. I mean, neat miniatures. You're paying for the development of the app and everything. The app is seamless.
How many adventures are in the base box?
Because what's cool
more than one or two?
It is more than one or two, but it tells the app, what did you buy? So if you bought some of the big box expansions, or if you bought some of the small box expansions, it adds those components.
Oh yeah, and then it tells you what scenarios you can play.
No, it'll like add the monsters or the creatures, the orcs, whatever it might be, into the game. So base box have the orc or the forget the name of it, the little like wolf things from Two Towers, but
orcs.
Because because I own that expansion, the big box expansion that came with those, it actually incorporated those characters into my first game.
Mm, cool. Man, yeah, that sounds neat. I mean, it's one I've wanted to try out, but we really liked Mansions of Madness, so I thought it would be, like, being built on the same bones, it'd probably be a better match for us as far as theme. And then
I just
wanted to try it out with somebody first, so maybe we'll play it at Origins or something,
which I now have my flight.
Yeah, I imagine they'll have it there for check out at the library. But
yeah.
So any of our listeners, you don't get to check it out. You're not invited.
Not invited.
Just kidding.
Not invited. I think I'm sure it plays up to four players.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Nicole, you're invited and Jeff, if you don't want to.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna change my order, and I'm gonna go with
not an alphabetical. This is bullcrap.
It's close, but you did an IP, so I'm gonna do an IP. So my
IP freely.
You did an intellectual property, so I will do an intellectual property. I may also do that. So,
I must dear you a question.
All right. So I did. We played Toy Story, Obstacles and Adventures,
okay.
which is, I don't know if you've tracked this one at all, but it was built on the Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle bones, which I don't think you, I don't think you liked it. We got this for Ava for her birthday because it's a good like stepping stone. I think Harry Potter came with seven games, I think, because there are seven movies. This one has six.
Did you seriously just say seven movies instead of seven books?
I did, and there are eight movies, so it was
there are
completely
naturally.
Well, you can
you
skip
illiterate.
You can skip one of them. Your choice. I'm not sure which one I would pick. I really like book four, but I did not like how the movie turned out. But anyways.
I don't disagree with that because that book was 1,000 pages and that movie was terrible.
Yeah.
All right. So Toy Story. Anyway, an actual Toy Story good movie.
Yeah. Yes. Built on bones of Hogwarts Battle. So it levels up, right? It's an introductory deck builder and it slowly levels up to being like a real-ish deck builder. The problem like from an adult serious gamer standpoint, I think, is by the time you get halfway through, like to box four, that's the last good one, and then from there on, and in Harry Potter as well. We actually haven't gotten to box four in Toy Story, but I do know it's the same mechanisms that get unlocked based on the box size and what I can like hear in it. Yeah. But
you're shaking it like a Christmas present. What's in this?
Hey, it's the same. Dang. They weren't even creative. They just got new art. I will say I think the art is better in this because they like have, it's not just the movie stills. They've done drawings and stuff. And so it looks cooler. But actually, if you've done the ride in Disney, what's the one where you're shooting the balls, like the 3D balls in the arcade?
Toy Story Mania.
Yeah, Toy Story Mania. It's that kind of art that's in the line for that game.
Okay.
So that's kind of the so if you didn't like Harry Potter, I wouldn't recommend this, but for the kids it's great because they slowly learn a little bit. And the first game is super easy. You're pretty much always going to win no matter what card they pick, and they're just building the confidence and like learning the what a deck builder is, right? So that's really fun. I got sidetracked from saying what the problem was. The problem is, as the game gets bigger, that's all it is. It just gets bigger. They just add more stuff. The game just gets longer. It's not like you get more, you get a little bit of complexity, and then by the time you get to game four, you have all the complexity, and all they do is just layer in more cards, and you're like, well, it all just gets drowned out, both on the bad guy, villains that you're trying to defeat, and the cards you're trying to get. If you stayed with me this long and I didn't describe the game at all, it's a deck builder where you're basically buying allies, items. I think they're called friends in this instead of allies, and traits. And you use those to get lamps, and the lamps you use to defeat hazards, which instead of being like bosses, they're like got in a fight with another toy or something. And so I don't know, they are both, they are also the bosses, like you try and defeat the guy, the what's the bad guy? Al's barn guy from Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get the money is like toy, those bouncy toy balls, and I think that's it. Yeah. Okay. It's fine. It's the exact same game, just rebranded. I like it a lot for the kids. I recommend it neutrally.
It's harder to find than Hogwarts Battle.
Yes. I don't really know why they rebranded and did Toy Story. Tom Vassell or like Dice Tower liked it better. I really think it just depends what theme you like better, and Harry yeah. Potter seems like a better IP to sell at gamer level. Right. Yeah. Like I think Toy Story sells better to kids, but kids are not really the target audience. Ages 8+ is the recommended, and I think that's probably about right, because our kids can play with a heavy hand of guidance, but not
yeah.
independently. So
okay.
Oh. So that's Toy Story, and I stay in the same realm of I'm happy while I'm playing it, but not sure if I recommend it or not.
I guess that would be a Meeple Knight score of 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm it's like a 2 or 3. Yeah, I totally forgot. I'm happy to play it with the kids. I do like it. It does depend on the audience. Right, situational.
Yeah. Because in my mind, that's a 2.
Yeah. I'll see if I have my note while you're describing your next game.
Okay. Well, my next one, I'm curious. I think you've played it. And it's not a game I've mentioned on the podcast ever, but it's a game I own. I remember I owned it in Charlottesville before we moved in Charlottesville. So I bought this in like 2020. And that's Five Tribes, the Gems of Nakala.
Yes.
And I probably butchered that. But it's a brutal Cathala game that is highly, highly... high rank. It's currently 77th overall on Board Game Geek. People love this. So the game itself is...
Who'd you play it with? Sorry.
Veronica.
Okay, two-player.
Yep, so two-player only. And we'll get into some of those caveats. So you got a 5x5 grid with these tiles. There's different colored meeples on them. Each of those meeples have different names. So like an assassin, an elder, a builder. Doesn't matter what they do. But you pick up all the meeples off one tile, and you go in a orthogonal directions, and you drop off a single meeple per tile. And on the last tile, whatever color it is, you pull up all the colors of that meeple, and you do that action, and then you do an action of the tile itself. And if it was the last meeple removed from that, from that tile, you would put one of your control camels down. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the game, you would get points based on how many of these camels you have. So a lot of different things going on. There's some take that, which is characteristic of a Bruno Cathala game because of the assassins. It's one of those that I was initially hesitant to play this game because I was always told that analysis paralysis is horrendous, which is the only reason why Veronica and I did it at two players. We did a modification that we refuse with the assassin. You can actually attack your opponent and remove some of their characters, like meeples that they've collected during the game. We made a pact on our first game that we're not going to attack each other, so the assassin can actually kill or remove somebody off the board. And if they remove somebody off the board and it's the last character off the board, hey, you get to put another one of your control camels down.
I think it can always do that, right? It can always do that. You just said that you weren't going to take each other's. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it was either or. Is what you can do. We just made a pact that if you take the assassin action, you would only remove something else from the board.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Veronica enjoyed it more than she thought she would. In fact, we played it 2 more times the subsequent nights, which is shocking. So it was one of those, like it, keeping in the collection. If I get, you know, I think I've played, I wouldn't say I've played it out, but it's starting to get a little samey after 3 times, especially in short succession. I would want an expansion. I would want something else to mix it in there for us. Now, if I play it with more than 2 players, as long as they're not analysis paralysis, I refuse to play this with anybody that I'm going to like just die during my turn. I'll give up. I'll just say, I don't care. Just bam, 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 done. I don't want to play. This is one of those we talk about our scoring. This is a Meeple Knight 2. This is highly conditional. I would only play this with a certain number of people and a certain like group of people. Like I would play it with the four of us at Origins because I know we would be quick snappy. But yeah. If it, you're not going to take quick snappy terms, I'm going to leave the table and not finish the game. I do not want to play this longer than that.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that is the one big downside of this. And it's because it's so open-ended, right? Like each turn, you can pick up whatever, however many meeples there are on a tile, and you could go anywhere, just depending on what you want to do. So
there's like thousands of options, it feels like.
Yeah. I really like this game. I think it was in one of my top 10 lists, not this last one, but a couple times ago. Maybe it was my initial one. I think the other thing is this does a great job, in my opinion, on the simplicity of the rules, and the complexity is in the strategy and the tactics, right? So, like, I haven't played this in a year or two, but I feel pretty good that I could just pick it up and play it with, but it also has a fairly decent, like, refresher aid, I think. And I really like the Days of Wonder art, and like their presentation in general is usually pretty good. It's appealing to look at.
The player aid is fantastic. And I think that's what made it easier for Veronica to learn it and to like didn't ask me a lot of questions, because you don't want to interrupt somebody when they're trying to like puzzle out, okay, if I do this, like they're trying to think of all these. It's sort of Zach Galifianakis from The Hangover, when he's got all those numbers on the screen that he's trying to like process everything.
Yeah.
That's how I feel sometimes with this game. And then you're like, all right, this is how I need to do this. And Veronica, because she had her player aid, she didn't have to interrupt me. And also because it's two players, the board doesn't change as much.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, I want to go to this one because I want to capture that 13 point tile. I want to put my control camel on that 13-point tile. I need to make it juicy so she will go there and pull off everybody but one, and then I can capture it next turn.
Yeah.
And I'll be happy with the meeple that's left, so I could take the meeple action when I withdraw, and I could still capture it.
And that is one of the nice things. This at two-player, I think, is a completely different game than like three or four, just because you get two turns every round. And you could have back to back and then them back to back, or it could be you, them, you. It could be every other, and like that can change every round.
Yeah. So for listeners, how all of the turn order works is you actually bid, you spend your money. Money in this game is victory points. So you're spending money to decide, am I going early or am I going to go later? If you go later, it doesn't cost anything or lower coins. If you go earlier, you could actually be outbid for that first turn, but that money is exponential, that it's quite costly. It's a cool game. Yep. I liked it.
All right. So our scores, by the way, I looked up our definition. I'd had it in our sheets. I'll start at a one. Not fun. Would pass if asked to play.
Quotation paleo.
Paleo and apparently evolution for you. Two.
Trash.
Game is okay, but not likely to hit the table. Three is a good game worth playing in the right situation. I think that's where I put both of the games that I have talked about today.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I'm happy to play Ark Nova online. That is exactly where I like it. It's an hour and a half that way, and I'm playing it with people that I know, and it's a friendly game. And same for Hogwarts and Toy Story. Would play it with my kids. Yeah. Four, great game. Almost always willing to play. Need to have access to it. Like, need to buy it or have it in the friend group. Five is amazing game, among my favorites. Must owns it. Precious.
Yeah, I always thought score of two was situational.
Like, yeah.
In the right situation, I would play it.
That might have, maybe, we may have even changed it halfway through or something. I don't know.
Again, that's why you wanted the qualitative. I wanted the quantitative. Yeah. And this is the happy between, because it works.
We'll call it a 2.386947222221. How do you get to that mathematically? I don't know. Anyways, my last game.
You're the money guy.
That doesn't mean I know how to get to exact integers that have like 14 decimal points. Well, you could just do whatever that number is times, like a million, and then divide it by a million. Anyway, cheating. So I'm really happy with how this order turned out, because I'm somehow able to finagle something that matches to yours. So this game actually, were they published in exactly the same year?
They're both 2014. Kind of,
they were. Oh my god. Published in the same year. So I was just thinking they're both kind of like the modern classics that have introduced a lot of people to the hobby, the deeper hobby. And this would be Splendor.
Ooh.
I have not played Splendor before, actually. What? And our friends Nick and Melanie introduced it to us. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How have you not never played Splendor?
I don't know. Well, I mean, we almost played it the first time we went to Lake Monticello board game night. But then our friends showed up and we played Keyflower. But while we were waiting for them, we were going to play with somebody else.
So what's Splendor? Good
move, I guess, right? Hey, you want to play Splendor with us? Yeah, but only if our friends don't show up. Oh, they're never mind. Go find somebody else. Man, we were jerks. I don't think it actually got that far. It was like waiting at the door. Anyway, Splendor from Space Cowboys. The only publisher I'll mention today, apparently, and designed by Marc Andre. This is a pretty pure engine / tableau builder. So there's three rows of cards that are types of gems, basically. And then above that is a row of nobles who want you to have certain gems. And then above that is like locations, I think, or something. There are six types of gems. On your turn, you can take two of the same gem, or you can take three unique gems. You need to get those to satisfy different cards. When you get a card, like say there's a white gem card and it costs two green, a red, and a blue to buy it. I buy that. Now I have a white gem card in front of me for the rest of the game. I always have a one white gem. Or a diamond, I think it's called, probably. And so you're trying to build up those permanent diamonds and rubies and sapphires and chocolates, or whatever the brown one is. Diamonds are forever, but chocolate is the way to a woman's heart, or something. I don't know. There's probably some quote like that. Anyway.
You're trying to fill a hole here.
I'm just trying to fill holes. We had played Century Spice Road, was kind of called a Splendor Killer, and we played that and we really liked that, and we're like, everybody said it was a Splendor Killer, so we just kind of like never made an effort to go find it. But our friends got it for Christmas this year, and they were like, oh my gosh, we got this new game, have you played it before? And we said no. They're like, oh, we get to introduce you to a game. So it was fun for them to be able to teach us a game.
Okay.
Instead of the other way around. This is fine. I'm not going to buy it. It doesn't need to be in our collection. I would play it if anybody asked. I'm never going to ask to play this. I stand by, like, I like Century Spice Road better. It's a little, this, like, I mean, it's a 20 or 30 minute game, so it's not a big deal, but it's very lucky, like luck dependent. They're just like a card comes out. I mean, all of us were kind of in the, we just needed the right card to come out situation.
Yeah.
And then one flipped for somebody and they won the game. And it's just how, and maybe that was just, we were evenly matched, but, yeah, I don't know. There's not a lot of thinking, so it's a good social game. That's why I would.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the company that I played it with, and I'd play it with them again if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I guess all my games are in a two or three this week.
Yeah.
I think this one's. I don't know. It's hard because like this is a better game, I think, than the Toy Story game.
Yes.
And I'd rather play this with adults. But Yeah, I don't know. They're all twos or threes.
So, a couple different ones on this. Number one, expansion. There's an expansion for this, mm-hmm. which
the
does
cities
help.
Or something? Or
yep. It okay. adds a couple different modules that you can turn on. That does help the game. There's different things for you to go for.
Just like the adds variety.
It does. So okay. I actually will refuse to play this without the expansion. And it doesn't add that much difficulty for it. So we will, like Veronica is more than willing to play with the expansion. Number two, if this isn't your theme of collecting gems and chocolate covered gems, whatever you called it, that they're being pooped out. There's actually a Pokemon one in Korea that's looks oh, dope. Really? Where the gems are Pokeballs. And like that one looks sick. I don't know if that'll ever come to the States because of the intellectual properties with it, but that one looks cool. The other one, which I will say the true Splendor Killer actually has nothing to do with Century Spice Road. It's the Splendor Duel. So for you two, for you and Nicole, if you can find it, it's probably $20, $15. Splendor Duel turns Splendor on its head. It's a better game. Now, Veronica hated it when we played it because I steamrolled her. Because it's more of an advanced level game. I think she was expecting Splendor, and instead she got it's the Seven Wonders Duel version of Seven Wonders. It's a different experience, and there was something that this game just clicked for me. I destroyed her the first game we played of it, and it wasn't close, and I think it might have ruined our chances of ever playing it again together. I really liked it, though. That's the problem. I loved it because it made so much sense to me. Splendor is basic. Splendor fits into the same mold of Catan, Ticket to Ride. Those are games that are great to get people into the hobby. I love that people enjoy these games, but they're fine.
Yeah.
I would call this the vanilla game, right?
Yeah,
to me, yep. It's a two. I'd play it with the right people, but it's vanilla. There's nothing wrong with the game. There's not enough flavor. I want some chocolate chips in there.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, there's not a lot. Like nothing's going to change anytime I play that game. I mean,
no, this is the Black Widow out, of but, Avengers. Yeah. It's fine. I'm glad they're there. Oh wait, oof, sorry, Infinity War.
So the Pokemon game is not. I mean, it. It's not cheap, but it's not like crazy. It's $43.
But shipping, because I think you'd have to import it.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Usually they say, I guess it doesn't say include shipping. This one. Oh no, that's Pokemon Chips Edition. That's not the same game. This 57 plus 13 shipping. So like $70. I mean, it's a lot for a game that's, 44 plus 20 shipping. Yeah. So like for 60 to $70. Yeah, for what this is, I wouldn't spend that. But it's not like a $200 game. Like I thought it was gonna be bonkers. But
the Pokemon looks sick. That goes back to nostalgia.
Yeah. 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 I mean it looks like it's exactly the same game. But yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
There's no change. But I would because it's Pokemon theme, like I would absolutely play that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It looks like that one that I was looking at is $43 plus $19.90 shipping. That's the cheapest one I can find. So
it's still not terrible.
$62.80.
And they have 10 left. When we say Pokemon, we're not talking about any of the crap beyond the
this is the basic
151.
Although they do have some sort of I guess that's the great no, what is there's a couple like all right, the red there's a red and white Pokeball. Right, that's the normal one. The Great Ball was blue and red. The Ultra Ball, I know for sure, was black and yellow because that was always my favorite one. And the Master Ball, I'm 100% sure, is this purple one because it's got an M on it. And then there's this and this blue and yellow one.
Yeah, the blue. Yeah, I have no idea what those are. But when I'm looking at the Pokemon, like I'm seeing Poliwag, I'm seeing Notarino, Charizard, Pidgeotto, Beedrill. Like I'm seeing all the original 151s.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And even the people you're trying to impress are all the gym leaders, which is brilliant, actually.
Oh, I didn't see that. Nice. Yeah. That's. Oh. Yep. Yeah.
I remember all of them.
Yep. I wonder what it's showing, like, it's showing evolutions. So I wonder, like, if you have, oh man, you might have to read Korean to know.
I mean, obviously, like
evolutions seem to play a role in this. Well, this is getting interesting.
Ooh. I see. You're talking about in the center of it. So you could spend, with Bulbasaur, you could spend three of those pink Pokeballs to immediately become Ivysaur.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
That's cool. So that instead of buying Ivysaur, which I would assume is more expensive than just three pink Pokeballs,
you can
evolve Bulbasaur with three of those into Ivysaur.
Yeah, that's cool. It's like rare candies or something kind of thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's really cool. That does make it interesting. It still doesn't make it $64 interesting, but...
It makes it like $40 interesting. Free shipping, $40. I would pay for that just for the nostalgia. But yeah, not 60.
Yeah.
All right, publishers, I know you listen to Maple Knight because of the great content. Get this to America. Yep. Not to Europe. Not to Brazil.
America. We have millions of listeners. They just don't respond to our Q&A. That's not indicative of anything. It's because we told them that we're not going to listen, that we don't follow them on Instagram and any of that. So it's not their fault. It's our fault.
It's our fault. Well, how should people reach out to us?
Well, you can technically reach out to us with meeplenightpodcast@gmail.com, but I am putting up Q&A on the Spotify. So if you see the Q&A, feel free to respond. You can literally put whatever you want. You don't actually have to answer the question.
Please answer the question.
And I'll publish. Well,
for
Jeff,
Peter's has, sake, Jeff, answer the question.
Jeff has to answer the question.
Only Jeff.
But yeah. And if you, yeah, if you, I guess if you abuse that right, then I can always just not publish it. So
yeah, it's more fun. Hey, every episode we've had somebody respond. This is great. We're batting 1,000.
And our poll had one vote to just get Jeff on the podcast already. That was I think you, but
that was me. Look, this, we're the Tony Gwynn of podcasts. Okay, we are fantastic.
Oh man,
not at all.
You have anything left to add?
I do not. Try High West bourbon out of Utah. I don't know why the Mormons make good bourbon, but this ain't bad.
Well, there's probably at least one person in Utah that's not Mormon, would be my guess, but
I don't think that's allowed. Ask Nick.
I don't think that's possible. All right.
Well, every time we mention Mormon, I always think of that song from South Park.
Oh man, I need to get the outro music on here, apparently.
Yeah, well, listeners, hopefully you appreciated this.
Oh, I should have. Oh, man, I should have had that ready. Oh, this show just got so much better.
The fact that I stopped watching Bob's Burgers to come to record tonight's episode, that was perfect. Oh my god.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. There's some outro. I didn't write it down.
No, you say good night and good luck.
You say that.
We'll see everybody
in a fortnight.
Yeah. We suck at this. We don't care. We're fine.
All right. Well,
two idiots. Good night, everybody. One of us is tipsy and one of us is
just silly sober. It's the lemon juice. It's the concentrate. If they made it from real lemons, I wouldn't be like this.
You got to stick the limes.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Good night and good luck. Thanks for listening to Maple Knight. Today's episode was recorded on February 22nd, 2024. and uploaded using Riverside FM and Anchor. Someday I'll actually type up these notes. Our theme music is All Night by Declan DP, provided by Audio Library Plus, which provides free and safe music for content creators. For all the latest on Meeple Night, you can follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook group. We probably won't respond, but you can email us at meeplenightpodcast@gmail.com, and please respond to our polls and questions. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So until then, dream a little dream of games.